up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, I thought it would be fun here in the new year, 2017, to drop a four-letter word right into the show. So I'm just going to drop one of those four-letter bombs right into the show, and because I really want to see if the FCC is paying attention. I want to see how judgmental you guys will be with me as a fellow Christian, hopefully. And so I'm just going to do it. You ready? Four-letter word, offensive to many, and something that a lot of people are like, I don't like that word too much. And the word is work. All right, sorry, didn't mean to disappoint you. My producer in Winston-Salem uses the word dumb. No, dumb isn't an ugly word. It's a great four-letter word, unfortunately, too applicable in the United States of America today, but that's another subject. It is Theology Thursday here on Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble. Great to be with you, as always. Today, actually, something that we've talked about, I would say semi-regularly here on Call to Action Radio, and it's the topic of work and our understanding as followers of Jesus Christ of this four-letter word. You know, oftentimes we think, and you may have seen, or you may even owe, or own the bumper sticker that says, I owe, so off to work I go. Maybe you're a TGIF kind of person. Thank God it's Friday. You're like the band Loverboy, if you're old enough to remember. Everybody's working for the weekend. Just get me out of this stinking job. I just heard a story the other day on conservative talk radio talking. It was like 40 to 45% of millennials today hate their work. They don't like their work. They don't like their job. They feel unfulfilled. There's no profound meaning behind it. And I don't think that's just the millennials. I think a lot of us struggle with this concept of work. But what is it supposed to be like for us followers of Jesus Christ? Well, today it is, of course, Theology Thursday. Our good friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of my professors, one of my very own professors of ethics out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, Dr. David Jones. Dave, how are you? Good to see you.
Hey, Steve. It's good to be here.
And thank you. Let me thank you publicly because Dr. Jones came down. I teach a one-semester ethics class for mostly high school-age homeschoolers here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. And Dave came down to talk about, this is one of the subjects we broached that day in an hour and a half. And then I actually had them write a paper. They each had an opportunity to write three different position papers. Many of them chose to discuss the role of work in the life of a Christian and how could they possibly glorify God and have a good Christian witness within the confines of either their current job, Dave, or their job in the past. So thanks for being there. That was a great day.
Yeah, I tell you, it was speaking live, being interviewed for an hour and a half in front of a room full of high school students. Totally terrifying. Live radio in a studio. I mean, this is great.
No big deal. Just you and me. But in that case, you had 22 sets of eyes staring at you.
And all kinds of great questions from some really great students. It was real fun. Thank
you. Yeah, well, yeah, you're welcome and thanks for doing it. Was that encouraging to you to see people between the ages of 15 and 14 and 18, thinking at that level of depth?
I tell you, it was really eye-opening and encouraging. I mean, to see so many young minds, thinking so, in depth, asking such intelligent questions, and quite frankly, giving some really substantive, and surprisingly in-depth responses to my questions.
Yeah. So that was a great time, and it was encouraging. It's encouraging to spend time with them every week. By the way, if you are a parent, and most of you are, and if you happen to be here in the Triangle area, I have another ethics class that kicks off next Thursday. I do that every Thursday down in Cary, North Carolina, at a great church down there called Colonial Baptist through their homeschool program. Ethics is a one-semester course every Thursday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Then I break all kinds of laws getting up here to the studio so that I can be live at 4 p.m. But if you want to check that out, just get a hold of me on Facebook or maybe go to the website, c2atoday.com. So today we're going to talk about something that just showed up in the Southeastern world at the Intersect website, kind of the Intersect section of faith and culture, and part of a book series that you've been involved in here at Southeastern, talking about the three wrong ways to think about your job. It comes from the book Every Good Thing, which I have on the resources page at c2atoday.com. A great book, covers a lot of parts of our lives as spiritual and material beings and from an ethical perspective. So I'm going to ask you the same question right now, Dave, that we covered at the beginning of that class we did together last month or 2 months ago, whenever that was. Is what is ethics from a Christian perspective in general, and why is it an important subject?
I tell you, ethics is so important, Steve, because I mean, broadly speaking, I would define ethics as applied theology. Essentially, ethics answers the question, what difference does my knowledge of the Bible and my relationship with Christ actually make in everyday life? And so what difference does Christ, what difference does Scripture make for work? What difference does it make with finance? What difference does it make in relationships? What difference does it make with the words I use, the way I dress, the places I go? And so essentially, while many folks think of ethics as some kind of dry, perhaps philosophical topic that's of not of interest, in actuality, it involves everything that we do. Ethics is completely unavoidable as applied theology.
Well, there are, when you think about the realm of the decisions that we make every day, some decisions are innocuous. They do not have a moral component. What are you going to wear? What do you need for breakfast? You know, unless you're going to steal something from somebody or somewhere. But a whole lot of our decisions, really, every day, and especially on the big topics, if you're interested in politics like most of us are, all your political leanings, one way or the other, where you come down on any law, on any initiative of the government, the cultural issues, entertainment issues, all these things, financial issues, the environment, life and death, sexuality, all this stuff, it fills up the stocking, if you will, of this thought of ethics.
Yeah, you know, it's impossible to not do ethics. So really the question is, are our ethics going to be good or are they going to be bad? And as a follower of Christ, certainly we want them to be good and Christ-like, which is a great reason to get more education in ethics, whether you're a student in high school and you can take your class down there in Cary, or if you're here in Wake Forest, the Raleigh area, come up to the college at Southeastern, come up to the seminary, and we have bachelor's programs, master's programs, doctoral programs, everything up to a PhD with emphasis in ethics.
Yeah, because I was, first time I met one of your compadres here and another one of my teachers, Dr. Heimbach, I met with him. This was fairly early on in the call to action years, and I think it was right before I got on the radio, and I talked to him about, I think there's probably, if I'm going to be on the tip of the spear here, that I should probably be a little more educated than what I can normally get in a church or in a Sunday school class or a Bible study. And he had known enough about my background, Dan did, that he said, yeah, you need to be here. And from the first class to the last class, now I just have a few papers to write and I'll be done with my master's. I was like, this applies all over the place, all the time, in just about every nook and cranny of life. That's why it's so important that we talk about ethics. When we come back, three wrong ways to think about your job. Some really common misperceptions for all of us as Christians. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again today. C2AToday.com is the website. You grab the podcast there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and a couple other places if you missed the show. 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time isn't necessarily the greatest time of day for everybody, but the past shows are there. And if you're like, man, this one show, you talked about this one thing, and I really have a friend that I think would benefit by that, then just go to the website, c2atoday.com, and you can get to the podcast page there. Download them, listen to them online, whatever works for you. But that's all there, as well as blog posts and some other resources like a book that the subject we're talking about today, Three Wrong Ways to Think About Your Job, really is embedded in a great little book that my guest today, Dr. David Jones, wrote, Every Good Thing. It's a really easy read, very kind of, I call it street-level language, so it's not kind of ivory tower seminarian talk, which, believe me, Dave's perfectly capable of. In this book, it's really, really easy to absorb. My high schoolers that I teach every Thursday, I read this book. It's required reading for them. It's just an excellent, excellent primer on a lot of different aspects of life that, quite frankly, you probably never think about in terms of being a Christian and being somewhat biblical, hopefully literally biblical, and applying those things to these different subjects. But today, talking about work, which I think a lot of us don't talk about much, Dave. I don't think this one hits the radar screen a whole lot. It's kind of this biblical, Christian, ethical viewpoint of work. I don't think we talk about it nearly enough in the church itself. Am I right on this assessment?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I think if it's talked about, there's almost that assumption, you know, that work is bad. You know, it's You know, the whole mindset is, hey, I'm looking forward to the weekend. And why is the weekend so prized? Because they don't have to go to work.
You know? Exactly.
You know, and we look forward to the holidays, and people dream about retirement, even early retirement, right? And of course, it's not a bad thing to have a weekend. I mean, vacations are good, and retirement's also, you know, a good goal. But if it's prized because we think that work is bad, you know, that work is somehow evil or sinful or the result of sin, well, then that's really a misconception biblically about what God teaches us in regard to work.
Yeah, and you mentioned we're going to talk about three wrong ways to think about your job. And by the way, this was an article from the Intersection website, Intersect website, that I put up on Facebook, facebook.com/C2A Radio. So you can find it there, and I link to it there as well as on Twitter at Steve Noble Radio. But misconception number one, you just mentioned it, work is bad and leisure is good. How did we end up thinking like that? I mean, the culture certainly sows into it. The weekend business is huge. We, you know, I mentioned Loverboy earlier, everybody working for the weekend. And I think push comes to shove, we all need to be honest and say, yeah, you know what? I think most of the time I prefer the weekend to the weekday.
Yeah, you know, and then in saying that it's a misconception that work is bad, I'm not trying to overlook or minimize the idea that work can be hard, right? We sweat, we labor. Work can be challenging at times, coworkers, all sorts of things, you know, that make work, complicated. Perhaps even dishonest boss or, you know, things like that, you know, certainly can make work hard. And so I'm not saying that work is always easy, and that it's not affected by sin. Certainly it is, you know, but to, conceive of work inherently, as sinful, as evil, as bad, that is the misconception.
We tend to think of this work as a result of the fall versus work being affected by the fall.
Yeah, certainly. And that's kind of the starting place. You know, we have to go back to the Garden of Eden, and we see that when God made mankind, when he made us, he actually gives us two things to do, right? The first thing is to procreate. The second thing is to have dominion over the face of the earth. And both these things involve labor, involve work. And this here is just after the creation of man. This is not after the fall. It's pre-fall. Of course, we can see that when the fall does take place, Genesis chapter 3, the fall indeed does impact work. Now, procreation, you know, entails difficulty, the pain in childbirth, difficulty in conception. Laboring is hard because the creation
there
now
is... There can be difficulty in conception.
It can be.
There can also be a lot of fun.
sure. And likewise, not trying to overlook or minimize that, right?
No, yeah. I know. God created it, and what he created is very good.
but that's a whole other show, that we should do next week.
Okay.
But the, ground produces thorns and thistles. Man works by the sweat of his brow, and so indeed, even now, work is challenging. But the fact that it was impacted by sin does not mean that it indeed is sinful. And so what I'm aiming for when I say this misconception of work, that it's wrong to believe work is sinful or evil, I'm trying to say that, you know, conceptually, by design, work is good, while, of course, we all realize that the effects of sin make it challenging.
Sure. Well, I mean, right here in the article, Three Wrong Ways to Think About Your Job, which I linked to on Facebook today, the Bible describes work as joyous privilege, not as a grudging necessity. Understandably, you know, when you talk about, hey, you know, work doesn't feel like a blessing from the Lord. This is also from the article. Understandably, then, many people feel a lack of purpose in their work. I think that's a big deal. Second, guess their job choices, are unsure about their career trajectory, and often feel insecure in their employment. And we have to acknowledge that all those things are very real challenges that we face.
Yeah, and I think that these are things that all of us go through, and all of us have to deal with. And so, the goal really is to, in the midst of the sin, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulties that we face, to properly, you know, conceive of work as being good, to bring the gospel to bear on our work, and to try to redeem it and undo the effects of sin because of our relationship with Christ, and thereby to view work properly.
Well, let's give everybody some kind of guidelines here. How should we, as followers of Jesus Christ, how should we view work in general in terms of, okay, I have a job. I'm grateful that I have a job. I have a paycheck. Things can be frustrating, this, that, and the other thing. Just in terms of purpose and glorifying God and actually kind of working out your salvation within the context of work, how should we look at it?
You know, I think it boils down to conceptually, if we could focus on the idea of being an image bearer of God. You know, in Genesis 1, when God says that we are his image bearers, he makes us in his image. It's not coincidental that he tells us, you know, to procreate and to have dominion. These are ways that we can practically, functionally bear his image. God's a creator. God has sovereignty over the world. Therefore, he tells us, procreate and steward, bring order to the world. And so when we labor, when we work, whether that be at farming, whether that be in business, whether it's in finance, whether it's in teaching, whatever it is that we do, we're actually functionally bearing God's image. We are his image bearers. And if we do work well, if we work in a way with honesty, with diligence, if we're punctual, if we give all of our effort to work, we can actually display Christ to our coworkers. We can actually have doors opened for the gospel because we are properly, functionally bearing God's image as we labor.
Yeah, because God is a creator, he's a producer, he's orderly. And in all those things, and I would challenge everybody on this as well, even if nobody ever asks you about your Christianity, and even if you drop the ball and don't look for those spiritual opportunities within the context of your workplace to be able to share the gospel and love people well, even if you take all that stuff, which is all really important, off the table, if you work well and work with diligence and work with excellence, you will be glorifying God, even if nobody else notices, and even if you don't have a single gospel conversation, which he wants you to. But even if you don't, you're still glorifying him in the work in and of itself. Something really, really important to remember. When we come back, are some jobs better than others? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Of course, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, somebody that's been on the show a number of times. And he and I have spent a lot of hours together in class because he's one of the great ethics professors out here at Southeastern, Dr. David Jones. And how did you end up here? I just want to remind people kind of if they haven't heard you in the past, Dave, because you had an interesting road to lead you to Southeastern and your background and why here instead of where you were.
Yeah, great story. You know, I guess I'll confess here live that the driving force for my coming to Southeastern was actually economic. It related to work and money. I was looking for a seminary to go to, and someone told me, hey, there's this great seminary in Wake Forest. It was about a two-hour drive from where I was residing at the time, and it was very affordable, still very affordable, by the way. And so essentially I came because it was Bible-believing, it was conservative, I had some friends that went here, and I could afford it. And so that led to me coming here 22 years ago as a student. I ended up staying on the faculty after graduation.
Yeah, and you were a pastor, too, for a while.
I started a church, was on pastoral staff. Actually started several churches, enjoyed doing that, and really probably could have kept doing that for quite some time. But opportunity opened up for me to come teach here, join the faculty, and I thought, you know, I can teach the same folks in church every week, or I can go and teach different pastors every semester. And I thought probably larger reach to teach the pastors as opposed to just teaching the folks in my church. But both good vocations, both good work.
Yeah.
And certainly enjoy it all, and just teaching the Word of God in different venues.
One time we talked about that, and I said, well, you just went up to the headwaters. You went up to the top of the Mississippi. Then whatever you put into the Mississippi up there filters down into everything else. So it's a really strategic place to go when you've got when God's gifted you to teach the way he has. And, I mean, look, I mean, today we're on 16 or 17 stations in six states, and what you taught me filters through into the show and goes out to all those people. So it's multiplicity is really cool in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So misconception two, some jobs are better than others. All right. Here we go. I struggled with this one for years before I was a Christian and even to a certain extent afterwards. My older brother, Mike, who I love and adore and respect greatly, a tremendously successful guy, high finance, stockbroker, high net worth individuals. That's who he works with. I always wanted to be my brother because he was just always knocking it out of the park. I ended up in the home services world, and that's what you say when you're not real proud of what comes next, and worked for a house painting company and then owned and operated my own house painting company. So I'd sit there and go, well, my brother's job is better than mine. It's better than mine financially. It's better than mine because I'm dealing with kind of the services industry and home services and the C word, contractors. He's dealing with Wall Street. So there's that misconception number two. Some jobs are better than others.
Yeah, you know, I think it seems pretty natural for most people to sort of think that service class jobs are inferior to knowledge class jobs. Or perhaps we could say kind of blue collar versus white collar employment. It's sort of just sort of, I think, bought into as a matter almost of common sense for people that, you know, I would rather have a white-collar job than blue-collar. I'd rather be in management than on the assembly line. Certainly better to be an accountant than be a house painter, and on it goes. But in the article, I point out that this is really a misconception, that Scripture has no favor. It gives no preferential treatment to either knowledge class or service class type jobs. Rather, I think what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to consider what talents do I have? What spiritual gifts as a believer do I possess? What experience do I have? What's my education? And given this all these factors, well, then which path is most spiritually expedient? What's the best course of action, the best job for me, given my skill set, given my contacts, given my friends, given my education? And how can I use this best for the kingdom of God? And so even as we just kind of started with me personally a minute or so ago, I was teaching the Bible in a church, having a great time. I had a couple hundred people, was going well. Well, opportunity opened up for me to come and teach several thousand people every semester the Bible here at the seminary. And so I kind of just thought through it, and of course there are many factors involved. But I thought, you know, it's going to be more spiritually expedient for me if I, you know, teach thousands as opposed to teaching hundreds. It was teaching the Bible either way, but the Lord opened up a door, and I thought that the best course for the kingdom was to follow seminary teaching. And so, you know, if you're skilled at teaching, what's the best way to use that? I mean, if you're skilled with your hands at making things, what's the best way to use that? And what's your experience? What's your skill set? And I think the answers to those questions are more important at determining kind of what we should do.
Yeah.
Rather than just assuming that certain types of jobs are better than other types of jobs.
Exactly. We're talking to Dr. David Jones, one of the senior professors of ethics out here at Southeastern. This is from an article called Three Wrong Ways to Think About Your Job, which you can actually find embedded in a great book I mentioned earlier, Every Good Thing, which you can go to our website, c2atoday.com. Just go to the resources page, and all the books that I've been reading recently are all in there, and you'll see Dave's book in there as well. So the first misconception we talked about a little bit earlier, work is bad, leisure is good. Right now we're talking about some jobs are better than others. And when I ask somebody, or they ask me, do you have a good job, or I'm looking for a good job, we also, don't we equate financial remuneration to a good job? A good job pays well, and a bad job doesn't.
Yeah, certainly so. You know, so I think that it's not only that, you know, we view knowledge class jobs as better than service class jobs, but we also view higher paying jobs, you know, as better than lower paying jobs, which is also, I think, is a misconception. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying that, you know, the pay that we receive, our paycheck each week, is irrelevant. I mean, certainly it's very relevant, being compensated for our labor, making enough to be able to support ourselves and our families, you know, very important considerations. But, you know, to just chase higher paying jobs because we view them as somehow better because they're higher paying, oftentimes it is going to result in personal disaster, right? And so the misconception that I talk about in the article is just inherently viewing higher pay as better than lower pay. Again, I think what's most important is that we are utilizing our opportunities, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, our education, putting these things into play in light of our opportunities and working for Christ, whether it be in the secular or spiritual realm, and doing so winsomely, appropriately, really regardless of the pay. But again, I'm not saying that we should, you know, purposely or willfully, you know, work for peanuts.
Sure, sure.
If the bills aren't going to be paid.
Well, I mean, and I think we all need to check ourselves at the door and have a little Book of James moment here as we look into the mirror. When we're talking to people, a guy that used to be the president of the North American Mission Board, which people that are Southern Baptists like Dave and I know about that, Bob Record, he called that. I used to do some speaking with Bob, and he called it the dog sniff. So you're asking people, well, what do you do for a living? And as soon as the other person answers that question, we're sizing them up. We know generally, oh, yeah, it sounds like they probably make a lot of money, or they're probably pretty influential. And if they say, well, you know, I work for a contracting company, I'm an electrician. You go, well, I can't really benefit anything from this person. They're not influential. They can't help me out in my career. They're not making a lot of money. And so we kind of do the dog sniff and then we move on. And I think we have to be careful that we're not judging one another based on whatever work we happen to be in.
Yeah, certainly. So it's not just kind of viewing certain types of jobs as better or worse, or viewing more money as better than having less money, but it's how we categorize people that hold certain jobs. I mean, certainly it is not biblical. And, you know, oftentimes I think that we can be surprised if we really knew, actually, what income was or wasn't that's attached to certain means of employment. So I think it would probably surprise us. But, yeah, doing the dog sniff, to quote Bob, I think is certainly a unchristian act.
Yes, definitely. And I think, truth be told, we all can be guilty of that from time to time. I really love this from the article. And, again, we're talking about these three misconceptions about work. Misconception number two, some jobs are better than others. This is a great definition, I think, you came up here with, Dave, about what is a good job. It should be one that meets an individual's natural abilities, educational preparation, life experience, and spiritual giftedness, regardless of the salary. So instead of going, I want what can give me the most, we have to think in terms of what's the best fit for the way God made me and the experiences he's allowed me to have.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, I have no idea what a painter makes or a radio show host
Some
makes,
of us make right? more than others.
Right. But I would say
talk radio show hosts can make a truckload of money. Christian talk radio show hosts, not so much.
Not so much. But I would say that, you know, you are currently using your gifts, your abilities, your talents for the Lord. And doing so, you're probably more fulfilled in doing what you do now, perhaps, than when you were painting or whatever other means of employment you had.
Yeah, and this is one final thought, then we'll get to misconception number three. Both pastor and plumber can be doing the Lord's work, and I think we all need to remember that, especially if you happen to be a pastor or you are a plumber, which brings up another thing, this misconception number three, which we'll just introduce before we hit the break. Sacred is better than secular. So if you are, you know, let's take me and you, for example. We both work in what most people would consider the sacred world. You're teaching at a seminary. I do a Christian talk radio show. I work with Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade folks. That's evangelistic. I teach kids Christian ethics and the Constitution from a Christian perspective. I do all these ministry-type things. So somehow we would rank people that are directly involved in ministry, quote-unquote, as somehow that's like a higher class of Christian versus the rest of those schleps out there, Dave, that are just out there working for the man and padding their pocket in the marketplace. And so is there a secular versus sacred divide? Is one better than the other? The final misconception. We're going to talk about that next when we come back. It is Theology Thursday. This is Steve Noble with my good friend, Dr. David Jones. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Of course, it is a Thursday, which means it's Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Wake Forest, North Carolina, right outside the Raleigh-Durham area. Which, by the way, if you're listening perhaps down in Tampa or in St. Augustine's or up in Georgia or maybe over in Wichita, Kansas, and out in Iowa and a few other places, you say, well, I mean, I can't do anything with Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary because I don't live there. Yes, you can. So what you can do, and we do so much of our lives online now anyway, just go to the website. So it's SEBTS, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS.edu/radio, and you'll see everything that you can access as somebody that doesn't live here. And for those of you that do, you'll see the same information in a couple of local things, but you'll see all kinds of opportunities online. You don't have to be a Southern Baptist. You don't have to be a full-time student. You can just kind of dip your foot in the pool at whatever level you want to go. But this is some of the greatest teachings, the largest seminary on the East Coast and one of the preeminent seminaries on the planet. and you have access to it at incredibly reasonable prices. Whether you're a Southern Baptist or not is irrelevant. If you love the Lord, you're serious about His Word, it's an incredible pool that I would suggest every one of us needs to be swimming in, especially as the culture gets a little more aggressive in questioning why are you a Christian. And in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have and do it with gentleness and respect. Well, a lot of us aren't ready to give an answer for a lot of the tougher questions that we can receive. And you know what? That's why we don't talk to many people about the gospel, because we're afraid of those questions. That's why Barna Research will show you that somewhere north of 90% of evangelical Christians never personally share their faith with anybody. Now, Barna makes money to give bad news. I understand that. But there's a whole lot of truth in that, unfortunately. So Southeastern Baptist, SEBTS.edu/radio. Talking to Dave Jones today, one of the professors of ethics out here. Three wrong ways to think about your job. We talked about misconception one, work is bad, leisure is good. A misperception two, some jobs are better than others, which is leading us into misperception three, which I set up right before the break. Sacred is better than secular. So how do we look at that? I mean, I think we tend to think of people that are full-time ministry like they're doing more for the Lord. But is that necessarily true?
Great question. And I think this is a real common misconception is that, you know, we tend to view folks who are, you know, pastors and missionaries, Christian radio talk show hosts, and this thing, you know, kind of these are like the spiritual people, right? The who are doing the Lord's work. Whereas I think from the article I say, you know, like the plumber, the painter, you know, the tradesmen, you know, they're just doing kind of dirty, kind of secular work. But, you know, really have to kind of check ourselves there, right? Because even thinking back to the biblical examples, Christ's vocation was what? You know, he's a carpenter.
Carpenter, right?
Carpenter. Paul, a tent maker, right? And so they both had service class jobs. And certainly they were both doing the Lord's work. And it wasn't just kind of a weekend hobby that they, you know, engaged in sort of Christian service, right? And so viewing, you know, secular and sacred as being different types of work, I think really is an error. Now, of course, you know, in one sense, it's easier to see, you know, how the pastor or missionary is doing the Lord's work. You know, they're teaching the Bible, they're sharing their faith, you know, they're visiting the sick in the hospital, whatever it might be, right? You know, but it's not just the active sort of Christian disciplines that are Christian things. You know, that house painter who is punctual, who is working for a fair rate, who's doing good work,
who's caring for the homeowner's property.
Exactly. You're a good steward of property. You're getting paid to steward someone's property, right? That's your job, your vocation, we call that. But is equally doing the Lord's work because you're bringing the gospel to bear upon your actions and influencing the material world because you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, or think about it like this. I mean, think about your church, perhaps. Indeed, the pastor preaches the sermon. But I think of my church. I go to a large church here in Wake Forest, and every Sunday morning, there are 500 volunteers every Sunday morning that work to actually make church happen. We have guys who park the cars, and we have guys who greet at the door. We have folks who put the chairs down. We have folks who work, you know, the lights and the soundboard and make the coffee. We have people that teach the children and teach the adults and teach the senior saints, and on it goes, right? And while the pastor indeed does the Lord's work by preaching the sermon, someone else had to put the chairs down. Someone else had to get there early and make sure that the heat's on or the AC is on. Someone had to direct the vehicles to park in the proper place. And if any one of these things didn't happen, well, then the event of church wouldn't happen. And so we're all doing the Lord's work. And that even extends to the serviceman, you know, who is hired to come, you know, during the week and work on the HVAC unit at the church. It comes to the folks who come during the week, perhaps, and are paid to clean the carpets at the church, right? And so even some folks aren't believers and might not even be aware that they actually are functionally bearing God's image in the world. They're still doing the Lord's work if they are acting properly.
Yeah, and I think as we look at this and as we finish up our conversation today, I think it's really important for all of us, whether you're in the ministry world or the marketplace world, or you're at home taking care of your kids, a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, all those places are environments where we can, like we talk about in 1 Peter, we're all a part of a royal priesthood. So think about it when you go to work or you're managing your household or you're dealing with your kids or you're teaching at a school or you're working at an architectural firm, whatever it is. You think of yourself as a royal priesthood or a pastor going to that environment, bringing with you the image of God, bringing with you the opportunity to show, kind of showcase what God has enabled us to do, to work with excellence, which glorifies him, and to be a great example to other people, especially the lost, of what a follower of Christ can do in this world. And in all of a sudden, your workplace, as opposed to just the church place, becomes sacred. Everywhere we go, people talk about divine appointments. Oh, well, that was a divine appointment. I tend to think of, shouldn't every appointment be a divine appointment?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And so we're all involved in the Lord's work. We're all supposed to be gospel agents, be image bearers of God as we go forth, whether that be to the supermarket, to the restaurant, to the office building, or to the church. And so, you know, I guess, of course, this caveat. Indeed, some people can be actually not doing the Lord's work. You know, if by chance you are a hitman.
Right. A prostitute,
you know, a bank robber. Indeed, you are not doing the Lord's work. And that's actually not a proper vocation, you know, but with those few exceptions.
Right.
We're all doing the Lord's work. We should all be doing it well. And hopefully with a proper conception and knowledge of what the Word of God says, we can all glorify him through our deeds and actions.
So what are some words of wisdom, Dave, too? And we're talking to Dave Jones, who's an ethics professor out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I put a link up to this article that's on the Intersect website, which is run by Southeastern, Three Wrong Ways to Think About Your Job. You can find that at my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. Make sure you like the page while you're there so I can continue to give you good, helpful information and education in friendly, loving challenges from time to time, pretty much every day. But for the people that are, you know, they're looking for a new job. They don't like their current job. They're kind of down in the mouth about work. I owe, so off to work I go. It's not a fulfilling environment for them right now. It's not exciting them at all. What are our words of encouragement to those folks who love the Lord but are struggling with their work environment?
I think I would say this. Are you properly viewing yourself as an image bearer of God, as a gospel agent? And are you viewing work properly? If you are, and work is still yet unfulfilling, it's still so challenging that you dread it every morning. You know, but perhaps there's a way that you can better serve God, a different vocation, perhaps. And so perhaps some retraining is appropriate. Some new knowledge, perhaps is necessary. So it's not wrong to, seek a different job. Perhaps your skill set could be employed, better in some other context. Certainly a good thing to think about, and do, but have to start with the proper knowledge, the proper mindset, viewing yourself as a worker, viewing the institution of work properly. And with that knowledge in place, then go forward in regard to, is a change appropriate, a change of venue appropriate, or is just a change of mindset what's needed?
Yeah, and I think that's something we need to be contemplative about. And oftentimes I think we just seek to escape. You're leaving a job because you don't like it, and you're going to go to another job. Well, there really is no perfect job, because we live in a very fallen world, in case you hadn't noticed. And there's no real perfect job, but we can have, approach a Christ-like perfected attitude about our work. And even when we're struggling and say, well, my work doesn't matter at all, just remember who's watching. And the Lord is going to disagree with you on that. Your work absolutely matters because you're an image bearer, and he wants you to have a fulfilling life. That's what God desires for all of us. So you just go back to Jeremiah on that one. And you just go, okay, I'm going to make the best out of this, even though it's kind of broken and it may not be very fun. But when you work with excellence, of course, we know, and all that you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And you can, and I think that's really affected me on the workplace, and even when I own my own house painting company, as I got more in touch with God's viewpoint of my work, man, my customers, the jobs, the houses, the type of work that we did became much more important to me. And I knew, even if I didn't have other people notice, that I knew, I mean, God just blessed me. I knew I was pleasing him.
Yeah, exactly. And even personally, I think back to when I was in college and going to graduate school. You know, I used to drive a backhoe for a living and do landscaping. And there were days, you know, where I'd wake up and think, oh my goodness, this is miserable. You know, I'm not training for this. This is not what I want to do with my life. You know, but kind of with a change of mindset and viewing this, you know, as the Lord's work, perhaps even as a means to an end. This is a job God has given me so I can train and prepare to better use my gifts and talents and abilities for him. And again, with that change of mindset, with the Christian worldview being brought to bear,
right?
Certainly, it was much easier to get up and go to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Dr. Dave Jones, an ethics professor out here at Southeastern Baptist. Theological Seminary, Three Wrong Ways to Think About Your Job. I've got the links up to that article. Really short, but really straightforward. Very, very helpful, as it has been on the show today. Thanks for being here, buddy. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, we'll be back tomorrow, a free-for-all Friday. Got a lot of different stories to talk about. Assuming that the Snowmageddon, which is what we call it, anytime it snows at all down here in the South, is supposed to start sometime tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, hopefully after 5 p.m. Eastern. So I'll be in here in the studio, God willing, tomorrow. And God willing, once again, I'll talk to you again then.